So as I came in tonight, I went over, I had a little extra time, and I went over to the flyers and things, and I saw the subject that I was going to be, or still am, going to be speaking on there in four. It's on the four right efforts. So tonight I'm going to put them all in one. And so I thought I would begin with just an overview, share a little story, and then go into it a little more. And then, so this will be a little bit of an introduction or a sneak peek at what you'll soon be doing more of, or perhaps what you're already doing. In the guiding, just a little bit of the sit, I had us focus with our attention, resting our attention, and coming back again and again. And we use that as a mindfulness tool. But what it takes, or I should say, and what it takes, is effort. And I also was using the word gentle and allowing. So it takes an effort that's a balanced effort, that is not a strong, intense driving force. Sometimes, once in a while, we need that to get us going or to bring us here or to bring us to wherever we are. But once we're there, it's just the sustaining, the continuing. And so it takes a little bit of energy, and that energy, focused energy, mindful energy of coming back to center or coming back to just this moment, just this experience again and again. And with the very gentle note, that note strengthens our mindfulness, strengthens our concentration, and it allows us to become aware of what kind of experience we're having. So we get to become familiar and know our experience from the inside, as well as then meeting that on the outside, perhaps with thoughts, perhaps with our work situation, with conversation, hobbies, whatever experience we're having. So they come together more and more. So a little story about this. Again, a long, long time ago, but this was actually a year or two before I started Vipassana meditation. I was doing a lot of meditation, and that meditation did have a lot of mindfulness and body-oriented qualities to it. So I was living, when I was, I think I was 26, I was living in the desert of southern Arizona, outside of Tucson. It was, I started with a friend, but she quickly got, she needed more socializing. So it just happened to be a time that was the right time for me to be alone. So 3.5 months in the desert with one tarp, my bag. I would go into town about every 8 to 10 days, get supplies and water, come back, walk into the space, and be there and do various things. So I had just this particular time, I'd probably been there a month, maybe a month and a half. I had just, and it was probably April, maybe May, maybe early May. So a beautiful time in the desert. And that particular desert, there's a lot of cactus in bloom, and there's an amazing amount of life coming, awakening to life. A lot of them hibernate in the winter, and then many things, rattlesnakes, birds, beetles, owls, an amazing lot come out of the earth. So I was sort of procrastinating in my space, knowing that I had to go back to the car and haul all of the water. And the distance wasn't that far, but it was about a couple of blocks worth of a distance. And I brought all my water, all my food in with me. So it was probably four to six trips with, at that time, more physically able, with a backpack and two jugs. So I got myself together, finally made the effort to get up to go to the vehicle. And as I'm walking along, beginning to become mindful, listening to the crunch underneath my feet, and also it was a little before sunset, so there was the beauty of the color and the sharpness of shape and shadow. So there was this going on. So I got more interested, and the effort came to be just walking along. And then all of a sudden, just before me, was this huge barrel cactus. It was probably about 3.5-4 feet high. And the needles are quite amazing. They're curled, they're probably as large as the index finger, curled up and around, much thinner and sharper, all throughout this cactus, except for the very top. And then it's like a little spiked hairdo on top. And the sun was hitting it just so. So there was this brilliant light sparking more interest, bringing up more interest. And then all of a sudden, I saw this huge black beetle on top, maneuvering over all of these little spikes and needles. And there was just this awe of deep appreciation for the beauty and the care or the flexibility of this beetle moving along. So I was just right there with that experience. And this cactus was probably from me to Douglas in terms of the distance. And perhaps my path was between the two of you as I was going along. So it was quite close. And then all of a sudden, I hear this shh, and perhaps just to the side of Maureen, I look over and see this rattlesnake. And this, it wasn't the first experience of a rattlesnake for me at this place, which was probably quite helpful. You know, there wasn't the immediate fear that perhaps might have been, because it was coiled and with the head up. It was probably just about striking distance, perhaps not quite. They're supposedly able to go their full body length, and it was probably a good 5 foot, give or take a few inches. So then I was struck by the awe and the beauty of this rattlesnake. It was just there. And I saw the connection between the beetle and the rattlesnake. With the sound, first I was struck by the awe, the beauty, and then just looking at this amazing, quite alive creature, checking out the beetle. And then I realized, as it rattled again, shh, that, perhaps I need to move. And I did, with the understanding that the beetle was perhaps part of the meal for this rattlesnake, and that the path, in order to go this path, it actually had to slightly step a little bit closer to the rattlesnake before I could go beyond. And so I did that with care and went along. And then I was aware of the pounding of my heart, and then I realized, this is fear. This could have been danger. And then, just as my mind started to go in that direction, I saw the sun and the sky, or actually not the sun at that point, it had gone down, the sky of the beauty on the rise of the pinks and oranges and yellows and lavenders and blues, and was drawn into the awe and to the beauty and to the knowing that I was actually seeing. And then I went continuing along, picked up my containers and did my back and forth, and allowed this experience to stay with me a little bit with the back and forth of the trip. And so that whole story actually was making use of the four efforts. So the four right efforts are the first one, I was in this place of not really wanting to go get all of this stuff, but I needed to go get this stuff. So it was kind of in a procrastination state, which is considered an unwholesome state to more or less degree, depending on how long, how deep we procrastinate. But also being able to see that at some point this is procrastination. So noticing that it's an unwholesome state, and then stopping the unwholesome state, getting up, going to pick up the water and the food, etc. So that was at first one first, of course, you have to notice that it is that it is an unwholesome state. So knowing that it's an unwholesome state, then stopping the unwholesome state. And then I didn't actually do these in order, and you don't necessarily happen. They don't necessarily happen that way, that they do them, that they are in order. And generally it's easier once an experience happens or a thought or mental state arises that we recognize it after the facts. That's generally how it works in the beginning. And that's also sometimes true of wholesome states. They just naturally arise as well. And then we recognize them as wholesome states. So then the next one was seeing the beauty and knowing that I was seeing the beauty of the cactus, of the beetle. And then with that, knowing this is a wholesome state, and allowing this wholesome state to continue, noticing the snake, noticing the connection, and then moving along. That all continued. So that was actually the fourth one of continuing, knowing there's a wholesome state, and continuing that wholesome state, so staying with it. Okay. So then with moving along and feeling the pounding of the heart, noticing that there was an unwholesome state about to arise, first recognizing it as it was, fear, very simple, but then noticing the beginning to cling, to hold on to the unwholesome and go with that. So just catching that at the beginning, stopping it, shifting the attention to the sunrise, to the seeing, again, using the same effort, using the same sense door. So first I was seeing with the cactus, seeing with the beetle and the snake. Then I was seeing, again, the shapes and color, the sunset. So bringing that, strengthening and continuing the wholesome state, bringing it in. So that's the third of bringing it in. And the second one was that of beginning to notice the arising of an unwholesome state and stopping the unwholesome state before it rose. So had all four in there. And I didn't begin by saying that this, but in terms of effort and the right efforts, I know that there was a talk recently on the Eightfold Path, or the Four Noble Truths, and the fourth one being the Eightfold Path. And in the Eightfold Path is effort. And there's the effort of the balanced effort that I spoke of with in the beginning, of having there be enough, but not having it be rigid. So finding the effort, bringing it in, allowing it to continue, checking from time to time, seeing that it's balanced. So there's using mindfulness, and there's using your attention with that. Okay. Then the four right efforts are those that I spoke of stopping the negative or unwholesome is more often how it's spoken of, state, and keeping it from arising. There's once that it's arisen, stopping it. There's the wholesome state of recognizing the wholesome state, or there's the bringing about of the wholesome state, recognizing it, and then there's once it's recognized, once you continue along with it. Okay. Oops. So with this effort, there's with the balancing, with if there's too much effort, there can be a lot of tension, tightness in the body, can bring about headaches, backaches, jaw. So that's one way that you can recognize that there might be a little too much effort going on. There's too little. If you're lethargic, or if you're procrastinating, or if you're depressed, unengaged, bored, falling asleep, little too little effort. And with the balanced effort, there's actually a sense of calm. There's a sense of comfort or ease, even if there might be a pain, there might be some pain in the body, there's still some ease. Even if it's fear, as I experienced, something that's a little difficult, there's a sense of ease with that balanced effort. So how to bring about, or how to work with these four efforts, or how to come to know them, how to bring them about. So first, acknowledging that there is effort, acknowledging what kind of effort, balancing the effort if there needs be a balance in the effort. So what you're knowing, it's a little tricky. You're not really wanting it to be other than it is. What you're doing is you're acknowledging how it is, and then with the understanding of how it is, then there's a choice. Just as if you notice that you have a shallow breath, that the body is in need of a deeper breath, that there's a deeper breath that comes. So in this way, with the mind states, when we notice there's a tightness, that we can open to the tightness, acknowledging the tightness, and then in that, there's a little ease. Or if there's not quite enough, if you're falling asleep, sometimes we'll stand up, Or if you're bored, you might bring a little more attention or move your body a little bit faster so that you're working to raise the energy, to balance the effort. So then there's, once you're working with your effort, you know you're working with your effort, you're actually then also working with mindfulness. And with the noting of the experience, you're strengthening the mindfulness and you're strengthening your ability to identify wholesome states and unwholesome states. And one isn't, quote unquote, better than another. It's just as it is. There'll be wholesome states, there'll be unwholesome states. But it's being present for what is true. And then with being present for what is true, then with wisdom, we shift our attention if need be, or we continue along if need be. Just as we bring our attention back to the breath with a wandering thought, or we name our thought to help match the experience of the thought. So continually shifting and bringing to the present moment, whatever it is. So with the unwholesome states, whether it's, you know, desire or lust or aversion or ill will, fear, deep sadness, the idea again is just to bring the awareness there. So you're not suppressing it. You're allowing it to be. And then noticing what else is true. What else is going on? Because it's not just the fear. It's not just the anger. It's not just the desire. It's not just... That's what we're aware of in the moment. But then there's opening up to what else. So shifting the focus from unwholesome to wholesome, or continuing if it's wholesome, allowing that, strengthening the wholesome. And one of the first ways we do that is just by naming it. So when you're allowing your attention to rest on the moment, and you know that you're allowing your attention to the rest in the moment, you could also, just as you note whatever it is that you're aware of, whether it's a fear, whether it's warmth, whether it's the rising or the pressure or the softness or the thought, you can also note wholesome, unwholesome. Begin there. And then from that, then you might notice wholesome state arising, or wholesome state continuing, or unwholesome state arising, or unwholesome state dissolving. Oh, another thing about the effort is it's not, and this is a little tricky part. Often one of the tricky parts is our attachment or our clinging of wanting it to be a certain way. So the effort isn't about the outcome. It isn't about the results or how it, you know, comes to, how it plays out in the end. That particular time in the story I shared, you know, it was a nice happy ending. But I didn't know that it was going to be. You know, I could have gotten bit by the snake. I could have tripped and landed into the cactus. So, you know, there. But it wasn't about, there was no idea, no attention, no thought of what's next or what, isn't this great? Oh, I'm going to go on and do this other thing and this other thing. You know, it was just there, just then. So the tricky part is to not get hooked into the result, to not, you know, the outcome. allowing ourselves to let go of the outcome and just be with what is. Effort for effort's sake, not effort, you know, so that, you know, you can have a great relationship, or that you can, whatever your wildest dream or whatever you're wanting to happen, so that you're just with it as it is. So effort for effort's sake. And this actually is strengthening effort also. It's strengthening your ability to be present. And it's wholesome. This is wholesome, just acknowledging that you're in touch with, in tune with effort. I wanted to read just a little bit from Ayakema's book, Being Nobody, Going Nowhere. I had a mixed experience, but I had an experience cooking for one of her retreats before she died. She's no longer living. And she's very clear in her talks. And this is a very simple book, Being Nobody, Going Nowhere, that her teachings are very clear, very precise. And so to help me put the specifics down on paper, I made use of a number of things from here. If we remember nothing else about the Buddha's teaching but the four supreme efforts, the four right efforts, supreme, that is enough. Everything else we remember may be uplifting, beautiful, interesting, but these four are the practice of purification. If we remember nothing else about the Buddha's teaching but the four supreme efforts, that is enough. The four supreme efforts are the essence of the spiritual path. So that it's effort, balanced, making use of our mindfulness, our training, setting our intention. And this in some way strengthens right view, heads us in the direction of right view. And also to begin with, we might just note our intention to be with effort, or our intention to be in the present moment, and to use it as a skillful means, skillful tool. So we're actually using right view, the beginning. Right understanding is the word that I use mostly for myself. Right understanding, right view, right intention. It also helps us with our conduct, our speech, our action, our livelihood, which are the next chunk. And then into effort, strengthens our concentration. Concentration and effort go hand in hand. And mindfulness. So we've got all eight right there. I wanted to open it up a little bit for questions or comments.
Mm-hmm. Is it just more of I prefer not.
It's for the recording of the people that are giving the assistance advice.
Okay.
Go ahead. Ask your question. Okay, check in with yourself. Because I can repeat the question, so that's not an issue. Check in. Okay. Because you had the intention to speak, to ask a question.
No, I was just going to... I think that for me, almost philosophically, for me, attachment to the quality of work is something that is almost even stronger than my interest in meditation or in something like attention to practice, something like right effort.
Mm-hmm.
And people whose work I really respect. Mm-hmm. Anyone whose work I think is really good, I feel like achieves that out of a really unbalanced, fanatical, painful process. Mm-hmm. I go to hear writers speak. Like I went to hear Mary Kate Gill, who I think is a gifted writer, or like John Krakauer, who I think he's a good writer.
Mm-hmm.
And they say that writing for them is one of the most painful, horrible struggles ever, and they're really good.
Oh.
To do something like this, do you have to let go of the idea of actually making good work or good artwork? Good art, I guess.
Uh-huh. That's a good question. Just a little bit of about what you said for those who might not have heard, is that a lot of times in your experience that people who are working aren't coming from a balanced place, and the outcome is quite amazing, quite, I don't know if healthy would be the right word, but engaged in a way that appeals to you. Yeah? Close, not quite. Because there was a lot there. Yes, and can we, or do we need to let go of the outcome to have an amazing result? Or can we still have an amazing result by letting go of the outcome? Yeah, I mean, as you noticed in the experience that I shared with you, there was no goal in that particular situation. Well, there was in a sense. I was bringing my supplies in, right? If I didn't have supplies, I all of the water, et cetera, I wouldn't have been able to survive. So there was an intention as well as the effort. And so we can have an intention, the exact way that it falls out, the exact way the outcome comes to be, we really aren't going to know exactly. And I'm sure that's true of writers also. They have a goal, and there are certain a number of things that they want to accomplish, whether it's creative writing or it's something like the Dharma that is very specific, and it's this, this, and this. How we actually do it may shift a bit. But so we're still in the present moment. We still are working. We still have the intention, and the steps are there. Now, can we do it in a healthy way? Can we do it in a balanced, healthy way? Yes. I would say that our goals need to be realistic, or our objectives need to be realistic in terms of what our actual physical or mental abilities, physical and mental abilities are. We need to be able to set, hopefully, ones that are obtainable. You know, ones like to write a 300-page book in a month isn't realistic. Okay? You know, that's a very big extreme. But so we still need to go through the steps and go through the motions and continue along, just as we do need to continue with the effort, continue bringing back our effort. The book can't be written with just the goal. The book, it needs a devoted amount of time every day or however you set it up to have that end be met also. So there's the moment to moment, and there's the shifting the focus, so the wholesome, bringing it in if need be, bringing in more wholesome quality, continuing. So in some ways, I'm not sure, those writers, so I'm not sure how healthy or unhealthy it was. And sometimes it is quite a struggle. I know for me, speaking in front of a group is not something that I care to do, but yet there's the underneath of what I want to share, sharing the Dharma, you know, that brings such joy and touching other beings in that way, just as a writer touches another being, their end result, there's some part of it there. It may not all be beautiful, just as our path is not always pleasant, you know, there's the unpleasant as well, but it's being willing and able to be with the unpleasant as well as the pleasant and continuing along. And that's a little bit of a long answer, but did I touch enough of? Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's waiting for the mic.
That was an absolutely great question.
Yeah.
And I'd like to respond to it also, if I may. Part of what I do in my life is write. And I belong to a group of women writers, and we were just this past Sunday talking about that very same thing, because Garrison Keillor had put a little piece out on Salon.com about whining writers and people who go around saying how difficult it is to write. And we were talking in our group about what it would be like if you had to lay tar or work on an assembly line. I mean, if that's hard stuff, then maybe, you know, these people need a little more life experience. Now, having said that, if you were in my house night before last night, he was there, he can attest to this. I'm in the middle of writing yet another book, and I'm walking around going, I am so miserable. Why, you know, there's 80,000 books published every year. What? I says, books means nothing. I'm an imposter. Who cares? You know, I'm too old for this. I mean, you name it, and I can say it. And I, since I've been trying to pay attention to this mindfulness stuff, mm-hmm. and I'm quite new to it,
mm-hmm.
I'm aware that I am telling myself stories mm-hmm. about myself and mm-hmm. about what's going on in my life that are they're dispensable. They're just stories.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I do. I make up stories, so why wouldn't I make them up about myself? And that it doesn't help me at all to be miserable. As a matter of fact, as I was listening to what you were saying, that my impatience, my to get to the outcome, mm-hmm. is probably throws a barrier up for me. Is probably a hindrance for me, which is why I loved your question, because I needed to hear that answer.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. Great. And just noticing the impatience, noting wanting to be other than you are, all of that is part of the process. That's all of that is a part of our lives. So being with mindfulness, as you said, helps strengthen those. And then adding the piece of effort, you can note, oh, story, and you can note, ah, this is unwholesome. Perhaps not in the beginning, but as it's repeated over and over and over, unwholesome. Can I stop? Can I shift? Yeah. Thank you. It is amazing how hooked in to results we are and outcome we are. I mean, we really live in, most of us anyway, if not all of us, most of us live in this society where we have so many things to do in a day, even in a day that we're not working. We're working, you know, in some way. Taking care of ourselves or our loved ones or our space or in some way. So see, we have it right there. We have all of these things even to let us know, oh, got to go check something out here, you know. whether it's to make sure your vehicle is okay, or the phone messages and the emails and the on and on and on and on and on. It is to just be in this moment is quite a challenge. That's a lifelong thing. Yeah.
There's unpleasant state and there's unwholesome state. There's just the way it is. And I really don't know how to judge that, my states.
Mm-hmm.
To say, oh, well, this is just the way it is. That's the, you know, how I was looking at it. And that's bad or something, get away. You don't do that, do you? No, it's just wholesome, it's just unwholesome. I don't know what my question is.
It's an excellent question, actually. Thank you. I don't want to go through the whole thing, but in mindfulness, the four foundations of mindfulness, mm-hmm. you know, attending to the body and the breath, the mental states. The second one is called vedana, pleasant, unpleasant. So, or neither is kind of, there's the pleasant, there's the unpleasant, and there's that which is not quite sure where it goes. That is true of any and every experience. It's going to be pleasant or unpleasant, or you're not quite sure which, or it's kind of a neutral state. That is another tool, and it's another way to use effort. You can simply note pleasant, unpleasant. Mm-hmm. That is has been amazing for my practice. And then to see what happens in the pleasant, see what happens with the pleasant, to notice what happens with the unpleasant, to notice what happens when you're not quite sure or when it's kind of a neutral place. So that is using effort also. That is using right effort, and that is wholesome, whether the state is pleasant or unpleasant. Okay, mm-hmm. With your attention there, that is a wholesome use. Okay, yeah. So that, thank you. For the allowing me to clarify and to refine that. And then with the wholesome and the unwholesome, it's also true that there's unwholesome states and there's wholesome states. And there's our awareness that where you said you're not quite sure. So sometimes you may not be quite sure whether it's a wholesome state or an unwholesome state. Or maybe it's a little bit of both, or you're going back and forth. Perhaps it's wholesome, a wholesome quality, but it's done in an unwholesome way, like the writing, okay? So you can just start with where you are. Whatever you know to be true, start there. And it'll unwind. Mm-hmm. It'll become clearer.
That's helpful, thank you.
Uh-huh, yeah. Yeah, oftentimes with the pleasant, unpleasant, we're in a place of reaction before we realize. So then we go there, reacting, or noticing that we're grasping, or noticing that we're pushing away. One of my main mantras is wanting it to be other than it is. But that mantra, or I shouldn't say it was a mantra in the, but the awareness and the stating it, the naming it, the noting it, wanting it to be other than it is, then help me be with how it was. Okay. So what I'd like to do for our last little bit, unless there's another pressing question, not so, is do a little loving kindness meditation. Is there anyone that's new to loving kindness meditation? Okay, great. So loving kindness meditation is the foundation of the four divine abodes, and it's a concentration practice that helps bring wholesome states, okay? And it strengthens the concentration. So what it is with the concentration practice, it is saying a phrase. So what I'll do is I'll say a phrase and then silently you repeat to yourself that phrase, or if you have your own, or if you want to adjust a word or two, you do go ahead and do that on your own. So there's traditionally four phrases, something to the effect. The first one has to do with safety, or being free from danger, or being free from harm. The second one has to do with, there's ones that have to do with your physical happiness and your mental happiness are the second and the third. I tend to do peace and happiness, and then so I include the physical and the mental in mine on the third. And then the fourth one has to do with ease and well-being, and it has to do with now, or what you're wanting to bring up in yourself. So that's an opportunity to very simply state something that you want to develop. I use joy, and ease of well-being is the traditional. So I add joy in there, care and joy in there. Okay, so what you'll do is you begin with your eyes closed and you're in a posture of ease. This is a practice of ease, so the only effort is in actually doing them. You're not putting extra effort in. It's a very relaxed, open way of being. You can lie down, sit up, any posture that feels comfortable. And gently, eyes closed is generally how it's done. But of course, if you're walking, you'll have your eyes open. So, beginning by feeling your body sitting, feeling the support of the earth underneath you, and the support of your own earth, your body. And allowing a couple of gentle, slow, deep breaths in and out. Bringing in the quality of warmth, of loving kindness. And it doesn't have to be anything special, just whatever arises, whatever quality of loving care that arises for yourself. And allow this to fill your chest center, and breathing from the space of the heart or chest at a regular, normal pace of breathing, feeling the warmth and love and kindness of the heart. And from this place of the heart of warmth and kindness come the phrases. May I be free from inner and outer harm. May I be happy and peaceful. May I be healthy and accepting of mind and body. May I care for myself with joy and ease. May I be free from inner and outer harm. May I be happy and peaceful. May I be healthy and accepting of mind and body. May I care for myself with joy and ease. May I be free from inner and outer harm. May I be happy and peaceful. May I be healthy and accepting of mind and body. May I care for myself with joy and ease. And then allowing yourself to just say one or two of the phrases again to yourself. Or just staying with the love or warmth in your heart. and allowing this love, this warmth, to be shared with all of us here in the Sangha. May we all be happy. May we all be healthy. And spreading out to all the beings in the neighborhood and to all those in our lives, in our homes, neighborhoods, at work. Expanding out in all directions and including all beings, just as simply as you can. All beings that fly, large and small. All beings that swim and move within the waters, large and small. All beings that crawl or walk or move upon the earth, large and small. And all beings that move within the earth, large and small. And including all beings in all realms. And with this heart of loving kindness, I'd like to share the merit from all our wonderful efforts this evening with all beings everywhere. May all beings everywhere, in all realms, all shapes and sizes, those that were born, are born, those that have yet to be born, may all beings be safe and free from harm. May all beings be happy and healthy. May all beings everywhere care for themselves and in one another. May we all live in peace, and may we all live in harmony. Thank you.